Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I've got an exercise for you to do this morning. It's not jumping jacks, don't worry, not that sort of exercise. But I'd like you to find something to write with and a piece of paper. The back of your insert here is blank, so that would be a good one. The ushers can bring you a pen if you need something. Just raise your hand and they'll bring you something. Got a few down here. We're going to have a little interactive session here. Does everyone have a piece of paper now and something to write with? Okay, here's what I'd like you to do. For the next few minutes, I'd like you to write down words, just single words, that answer the question, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? How do you identify yourself? Now, if some of you may have put things down like son or daughter, husband or wife, father, mother, grandparent, and these are all accurate, of course, and they're an important part of who you are. In this case, you're defining yourself through your relationships. Years ago, I might have written down something like Air Force officer, or vice president, or something that I had achieved throughout the course of my life. But these would be things that I had done, or ways that others saw me. And unfortunately, as I would later learn, ways that I identified my own self-worth. What are some of the things you came up with? Anything different? Go ahead and speak. This is okay.
Christian.
Christian, okay.
I put child of God.
Follower. What was that one, Sally?
Friend.
What was that one?
Blessed.
Okay.
Servant.
Provider. Good. Sinner. All right.
Forgiven.
Those are great. I was hoping you'd come up with some of those. Well, you may be wondering what the purpose of all this is. And I told you earlier that today was the baptism of Christ Sunday, when we remember Jesus' baptism by his cousin John the Baptist. Well, the baptism of Christ can mean many things. In the past, I've discussed how this was a commissioning of sort that marks the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Do you remember what happened immediately following his baptism in Matthew? He's sent into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted. He's now 30 years old, which was the age when Jewish teachers or rabbis were thought to be learned enough and mature enough to go about teaching and leading other Jews. And they would call others to follow them. Disciples, they were called. And this event signifies the beginning of Jesus' public life. Of course, the question that was on the lips of those that observed was, who is this guy? And maybe, if you're a Pharisee, you might even be asking, who does this guy think he is? And I imagine they're whispering some of the same things that you and I use to identify ourselves. Isn't that the carpenter? The son of Mary and Joseph? Brother to James and Joseph and Judas and Simon and his sisters? Even the location is significant. The Jordan River. The very same river the Israelites crossed when they went for the first time into the Promised Land under the leadership of Joshua. It's the same river that stopped for the great prophet Elijah just before he was taken to heaven in a fiery chariot. And then successor, there you go, thank you, Elisha, who is different than Elijah, takes over, and when Elisha steps into the Jordan, it too stops for him and signified the beginning of his ministry. Well, in this case, as Jesus enters the water, it doesn't dry out. People are getting wet. And it's here where Jesus is anointed and ordained and given legitimacy by God's own voice. It is here where we see Jesus confirmed as God's own beloved Son. If you've not already guessed, the sacrament of baptism has a great deal to do with our identity, who we are. As baptized people, we are far more than our relationships or what we do for a living or any of those other things that we talked about. Baptism confers upon us a new identity, and it marks us as belonging first and foremost to God. Just as circumcision marked Israel as children of the first covenant, baptism marks us as children of the new covenant, the covenant of grace. And grace is simply undeserved favor. It's wholly undeserved. It's freely given, and all we must do is accept it. So when we remember our baptism, as we'll do here today, we remember that we are beloved children of God, just like the name tag says. I could take this message any number of ways and speak for quite some time. But today I'd like to just ask you to focus on just one thing, one aspect of your life. Because you see, the world doesn't want us to see ourselves as beloved children of God. They don't want us to see the holiness that resides within us. In fact, it's just the opposite. The world tells us that we're nobodies. And one of the hardest people on us is ourselves. We are hard on ourselves. We beat ourselves up. We make a mistake or say the wrong thing, and we don't lose it, do we? It stays with us. And at the end of the day, it seems like our worthlessness has been confirmed, because none of us are perfect. There's an Episcopal priest that I dearly love, Henry Nouwen. He passed away some years ago now, but he spoke and he wrote often about this. He called it the brokenness of how we are all broken inside. And here's one of the insights that he offered. Please listen. He said, over the years, I've come to realize that the greatest trap in our lives is not success, popularity, or power, but self-rejection. Success, popularity, and power can indeed present a great temptation, But their seductive quality often comes from the way they are part of the much larger temptation to self-rejection. When we have come to believe in the voices that call us worthless and unlovable, then success, popularity, and power are easily perceived as attractive solutions. The real trap, however, is self-rejection. As soon as someone accuses me or criticizes me, as soon as I am rejected, left alone, or abandoned, I find myself thinking, well, that proves once again that I'm a nobody. My dark side says I am no good. I deserve to be pushed aside, forgotten, rejected, and abandoned. Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts that special, that secret voice, that sacred voice within us that calls us God's beloved child. Being the beloved constitutes the core truth of our existence. Being the beloved constitutes the core truth of our existence. I'm not going to speak much longer because we have work to do today. We need to be busy forgiving. And today I'd like you to focus on forgiving yourself, validating your identity as a child of God. So in a few minutes, when we conclude the offering and some more songs, we will be coming forward. You'll be invited to come forward. The baptismal font has water today, but not for a new baptism. It's so that we might remember our own baptisms. Many of us were baptized as children, as babies, and we may not even remember that baptism. Some of us, like Terry, were baptized and can remember. Either way, we need to remember each and every day our baptism because it signifies, it marks us as to who we really are. When you come forward, you're invited to interact with the water. Don't drink it, but I mean, you can touch it. Take a small amount, maybe, and make a cross on your forehead. You're not being rebaptized. You're remembering your baptism. You are marked by God. You are worthy. Not because of anything you've done, but because of who you are. A precious and beloved child of God. Amen. Amen. I'd like to invite you to turn to our hymn number 438. We're going to continue talking about water. When Peace Like a River, number 438. Please stand as you are able.